Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and each Monday I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. From unconventional practices to thought-provoking conversations, I'm here to break down barriers and redefine the boundaries of wellness and pleasure. Don't forget to join me for my solo shows on Wednesdays, where I explore even further into the multifaceted layers of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, and welcome back. Today, we are joined by sex witch Nadia Loon. Nadia is here to explain what sex magic is, where it comes from, and how using the powers of pleasure can build the most incredible relationship with ourselves. Nadia uses tools such as tantric sex and jade eggs to help people not only with themselves, but also with their sex, love, and relationships with others. I'm excited to get this episode going, so let's welcome Nadia to the show. Welcome, Nadia, to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. I'm glad to be here. And here for the kinkiness and the magic.
Well, the magic, well, sex magic. This is a very interesting topic for sure. And I guess my first question is, what piqued your interest into going into sex magic in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. So long story short, essentially my background, I came from the initiation of deep, dark suffering. Like I had BPD, I was an alcoholic, but I always was really drawn to sex and sexuality. And I traveled the world and I worked in sex work for a while as well. And I just, you know, would do all these kind of wild, sketchy things to like feel something. But I started writing a blog about sex and my dating life, and people really enjoyed it. It eventually got shut down because of this partner I had for a while. But everyone told me to like maybe be a sex therapist or something like that, but it never fully resonated. And so I actually studied dance therapy as well as Pilates. And in my Pilates career, I was a pelvic floor specialist. So I always had this interest in embodiment, and it always, pleasure and embodiment is always what kind of did make me feel better for what I was experiencing. And I went to all the different types of therapies. I don't know, just nothing resonated. And then one day I came across going on a retreat, but I don't like yoga. So I found this jade egg retreat. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, okay, stone up your pussy. Like I'm in. Like, so I showed up to the Costa Rican jungle and I was like, what is going on here? Like, are we putting these stones up each other, like ourselves, or what is going on? And so we all were in a circle. And we're like facing away from each other and we're being guided to use this jade egg. And so it's this jade stone that's in the shape of an egg, and you put floss through it essentially. So it's kind of like a tampon. And before you put it inside you, you have to, or we were instructed to ask our pussy for permission. And this moment was profound for me because I had never done that before. And my pussy spoke up immediately and said no. And I was like, I'm in the Costa Rican jungle. I paid a lot of money to be here. I don't care. I'm shoving this thing up me. I want this experience. And I had this full visceral reaction. My whole body shut down and went in pain, and I was crying. And I was like, what is consent? What is consent with my own body? Have I ever had consensual sex or touch? Like, what is this whole world? And so throughout that week, I ended up respecting the no of my pussy, which got me the fuck yes. And it was a profound experience. And literally there was like monkeys jumping all over the roof. And like, it was like wild. And yeah, that's how I got introduced to sex magic. And I ended up studying with her teacher, Layla Martin's her name. And she has like a 750-hour program where then I majored in jade egg, female body sexuality, and tantric sex, which is another 300 hours each. So it took me over 2 years to complete all of it. And Yeah, it's just like totally my life calling because sex therapy was too restricted for me. And this is where I get to have that shamanic side, that priestess side, that magic side. And it absolutely changed my life. I've been over 3 years sober now. I live a very magical life. I actually treated Lyme disease during this time too. But yeah, my whole mental health has changed. Like it's wild, and it's somatic healing is what it is. And these are 4,000-year-old practices that now modern neurology is actually studying and proving to be very effective. So it's a kind of a combination of a few things.
Wow,
Yeah.
what a journey. And I definitely resonate with the fact of, other avenues of therapy may have not worked out for us, but somehow we connected further with our healing through sexual healing. And sexual healing for sure is the thing. We're going to get into that. But I love what you said about even asking yourself for consent. Now, that must have been an interesting moment for you. And even to bring that back, because I don't think that that's a very common conversation.
Totally. And so really the root of my work, and it's actually funny because it's evolved into even discovering my sexuality deeper. And I'm an autosexual, I've discovered. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No, please explain.
So, ironically, it's on the spectrum of asexuality, and it means that my sexual turn on is rooted in turn on with myself. So, me in the mirror, or like lovers who really highly desire me, or like photos of myself, or sex with myself is my favorite type of sex. And so it's ironic because it's kind of merged now with the basis of what I really teach, which is the foundation of self-love, is what it really comes back to. And I believe you can be a well-fucked person and you do not need a partner. You need that foundation with yourself first so that you can have the best sex, love, and relationship with other people. And so my work is all about rooting back to self as foundation. And that's what it really is. I mean, through my embodiment and dance therapy journey, that's what I was discovering was like, how is expression of my body to get out of this racing mind to really deeply connect with my body and my body teach me what I've been neglecting my whole life, essentially, because, we have these animal bodies that are so receptive, that have incredible wisdom, and what is it to really listen to it? And then to go into pussy, right? Our pussy hole is an oracle. Like it holds so much wisdom, yet it also holds our greatest trauma. And it's fascinating with my Pilates background too, because I really understood how the evolution of your pelvis through your ancestry, how you walk, it's the base of your spine, it's that sacral chakra, it's that, that sexual center, it's our pudendal nerve, so our lowest, like biggest nerve that is receptive in our nervous system. Like it's attached to our throat through fascia. Like there is so many layers there that deeply connecting to your own body physiologically as well as ethereally and, through your mental health is profound. And that's what my work is all about reclaiming, is that relationship. And there's no coincidence that it's directly related to what has been shamed and taken our power away from us, right? If we hate our own pussy, we're going to hate ourselves. We're going to be disconnected from our power. We're going to listen to the Catholic priests,
Yeah, wow.
essentially.
All of that is just so everything that you're saying. I just love everything you're saying. I don't even know where to start. I do know that you mentioned a particular nerve that piqued my interest, the pudendal nerve. We just recently had someone on to talk about the vagus nerve, but I don't think I know much about the pudendal nerve. No, that's a new one for me as well.
Yeah, so what's so fascinating is our vagus nerve is higher up, right? It's more connected to like where our throat is and like our hypothalamus and our hormone regulator, but our pudendal nerve is our genital nerve. So it's the nerve that runs through our genitals. And what's fascinating about the nervous system is it's receptive to pain and pleasure. But the problem is, pleasure is so shamed and shunned in our society that we are only receptive to pain. And so a lot of these somatic techniques, they work higher in that body with the vagus nerve to actually neutralize the pain, but also get you out of numbness in this sense of like, our body is in fight or flight, so it will shut down in numbness. But then when we work with pleasure as the tool to work through our pain and then expand our pleasure, that's what sex magic and tantra, neo tantra, is all about. You work with more the pudendal nerve, so it's lower in your nervous system, like physically it's deeper, but again it's that deeper layer in our nervous system as well that holds our deeper traumas as well as our incredible pleasure that can live there. And so it's just the nerve that's living in our pelvis, but it's directly correlated to our vagus nerve and our whole system and our primal system of our nervous system too. So I'll explain that really quickly. The top of your nervous system is your conscious. So it's how we're having this conversation. And then the limbic system is our, like our heart and emotions. And then our primal is all the stuff that's unconscious. So our heart rate, our breath, our, you know, just everything that kind of lives unconscious in us. But again, there's tons of pain there and trauma that we've pushed down because we don't want to deal with it in our consciousness. But then there's incredible pleasure that lies there as well. And so when you're in that sexual place where you're like an animal and it gets like really this like deep part of human, that's you're in that primal part of your brain. And in Tantra, the definition of orgasm is to have a mind shift. So to be out of your conscious mind. So, I mean, linking it to kink, right? When you're in subspace, often you're kind of losing your mind. But in Tantra, it's about intentionally expanding it in pleasure. So it's more of like a psychedelic experience, essentially. So you go to the same place when you take psychedelics or do deep breath work, these kinds of things. Yeah.
Fantastic.
A lot of info.
Oh my gosh. No, fantastic. I absolutely love it. So why don't we start, and we're going to start breaking down where, I guess, sex magic, where its roots come from. It sounds like it's been around for obviously like almost the dawn of time, but we can go into a little bit of the history there. And I guess how important it is to us and its influence.
Yeah. So really, essentially before the Catholic Church like kind of took over the world and patriarchy and such, everywhere in the world had religion that had to do with connecting your human experience to your spiritual experience, as well as the earth, right? Like these earth-based religions, paganism is a great word for it. Paganism, essentially everywhere around the world had religions like this, and paganism is just kind of like a white word for it, essentially. And a lot of people still practice paganism. So then also Tantra specifically was, they say the start of Tantra was about 4,000 years ago, and it's a base in a life philosophy of weaving, again, that spiritual with your human experience, but also weaving duality. So for example, in tantric philosophy, they talk about like, there's no good and bad emotions. Everything just is. It's your human experience. And then specifically in neo-tantra or left-handed tantra is where it's very sex positive and like worshiping the goddess and this kind of stuff. Right-handed tantra actually is quite patriarchal. It's hierarchy. It's a bit of a different situation. So then tantra kind of birthed all these different methods. So every type of yoga is a practice of tantra. Every meditation, Buddhism, Hinduism, all got birthed from that. And then there's Taoism, which is from China. And that again is rooted in tantric roots. And in Taoism, they just have a little bit of a different energy map of how they work with it. So if you know the chakra system in yoga and such, like the seven chakras and such, Taoism just works with a bit of a different energy body map, and they specifically work with sexual energy. And this isn't all Taoism. Again, this is a sect of Taoism. that got popularized by a man named Mantak Chia, who's still alive today, actually. And he specifically really started working with the concept that your sexual energy is our life force energy because it creates human life, right? So what happens when we're not just like throwing it away, but we actually learn to work with it and cycle it through our body and then use it to manifest what we desire in this world or heal our nervous systems or have the best sex or whatever we want to, you know, vitalize and fuel in our life. And so that's kind of the origin of it. And it's just, it's gaining a lot of popularity in the past, I don't know, like 30, 40 years, especially because of Mantak Chia. So, and that's where Jade Egg also started to become more popularized as well. When there was a few female teachers who were like, okay, we don't want the men teaching us this anymore. Like, let's make our own kind of connection of methods. And yeah, it's kind of evolved from there.
What I find is interesting about everything that you're saying is the fact that it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. And yet, again, I always raise this question that it's so limited, the education that we know from this. But this is something that I once looked at sex as just kind of like a thing, kind of what you said, like a throwaway thing. It's like an activity. And it can be with intention, like if you're intentionally going out there for just that passionate night. But I do see now going through this, there is so much power in your sex, and you should kind of take focus and notice of it so you're able to use that energy positively.
Yeah. And we learn in Tantra too, this idea around. So what happens in Tantra is that like when you first get into it, you get this like big ego about it. You're like, I'm enlightened. I'm having the best sex. I'm having 15-hour orgasms. And like, I get the cosmic orgasm and like everyone else doesn't. And like, boo-hoo, poor them. But the thing is that you have to realize then you got to do the shadow work. And then eventually it becomes balanced. So a lot of people kind of get stuck in that like upper kind of channel. And what you realize eventually, if you keep going on this journey, one, you'll go through your absolute hell. So your shadows, so all your darkness will come through and working through that. And then after it kind of gets this balanced place where you're like, okay, like no one's life is better than anyone else's, you know, yes, you can use this channel to do amazing things, but you know, not everyone is going to be on that path, right? And we're all going to have a kind of different path and different dharma. I've been on the path of like, you know, deep initiation through pain. I've gone through the hell. But you know, the people who are having like good enough sex, like how do you convince them that, but you could be having cosmic, wild, multi-O, transformative, psychedelic sex. Don't you want that? Right. But you know, we all have a different path to it. And I think this is a really something I've learned through kink as well, too, is we all are kind of, we're doing our own thing, but there is so much power in it. And then again, my work is about reclaiming your inner power and your inner magic. And it is a path to that, like reclaiming and reconditioning for yourself. And so, you know, I have people who come to me because they were traumatized, sexual trauma, shut down, whatever it may be, right? We live in a society that's against female bodies. So, you know, it can be that. But I also have people who come to me just because they're curious to have more enticing sex, right? So it really kind of depends on what intention we end up having, right? And yeah, but the thing is too, also rooting it back to the history, is that the Catholic Church, when it became institutionalized, is when it took away our power, because it saw the medicine woman of the communities, so the witches, and witch just means wise. It means you're connected to your intuitive voice. You know, are a visionary for your life and maybe others, you know, the psychicism and all these things. You know, and as far as I know, all witches were rooted in like doing good for the community and building, you know, relationships and connection of spirit and self and earth as well. And so they saw the power these women had, and then they burned them at the stake, you know? And they were like, we don't want people being teaching personal power for other people. So they took it away from them. And so my work is about that reclaiming of that. But, you know, not everyone is going to be motivated, right? It takes devotion. It takes hard work. So yeah, it's but it's an incredible resource, essentially. And I mean, it absolutely changed my life. So,
well, I definitely agree with you. And I love your comment about the personal power. And I do agree that I think it's sometimes I feel that too. You want to go up to somebody and be like, this is so helpful for you.
I know.
You don't understand how healing this is. But I feel like it's a part of the problem, or at least one of the hurdles or challenges that I see, is that we have to remind people that there is a spirituality in this world. There is some sort of energy. We have, maybe I feel this a little bit more out here in the West, but we've separated that. People
yeah.
are not as spiritual anymore. They don't really believe in like the whole, you know, angels, heaven, like, you know,
yeah.
witch magic, all of these things. These are just like fairy tales of Harry Potter type stuff, but it's like, it's
yeah.
not, it's actually here in the reality of what we're living in. And some people don't want, maybe, yeah, maybe it's just not their path right now. But that took me a little while to kind of come back to, because I was raised kind of not really religious, but I was had influences of it. Then I was like, I'm not religious, I'm not spiritual. And I've kind of looped back being like, wait, no, there is that here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's two points there I have actually. So one of them is I often get asked, like, what is the definition of magic, right? Because people see it as this like Harry Potter thing, like, you know, zippity doodah or whatever.
Yeah.
But my definition of magic is all the things that are not tangible, right? Like Western science is obsessed with what can we replicate and what can we see in front of us with results. Right. And if we live only in the world where everything is tangible and able to, you know, prove, right, in my belief, we're missing 50% of the incredible human experience that we're in, right? And again, Tantra, that definition is to weave. So weaving the spirit with the human experience. And, you know, my mom is an extreme atheist. Like, that's how I was raised. Ironically, I felt so drawn to like, what is more out there? She's very mathematical. She's an engineer. And I'm just like, you're missing all this magic. But you know what? She's happy in her comfortable little world. And you know what? I'm happy for her in that. And so magic, when I come back to like, what are we reclaiming when it comes to magic in my work, you know, inner power, sexual energy, right? Like you've felt, anyone who's listening to this has felt turn on, and they felt that power surge inside of them. That is like, undeniable, but science can't prove it, right? Like science can't, like science can write a report of people giving feedback about it, but there's no like tangible proof in that. And that's also was a big difference with orgasm when I started to understand this difference between like this Western definition of a very physiological response versus this idea of mind shift and intentional pleasure and turn on to the capacity of losing your conscious mind. Which one has way more room for capacity, right? So many people feel so broken because they don't have the exact Western way of having an orgasm. And I remember like 15 years ago when I started looking into this stuff, and I was like, it was a time when everyone was trying to define female orgasm and no one could find this definition or agree on it. And so it got compared to against the male appendage, right? And then actually in turn, it screws up men's relationship to desire because their penis has to work in a very specific way. And that's what their orgasm is attached to, which is so unfortunate because there's so much orgasm out there, right? And so this other with magic, there was another point I had. I'm trying to remember what it was, but maybe I'll come back to it.
It's okay. It's okay. You are on fire with all of this information right now. So I'm sure it'll come back. But now, just moving on a little bit. Now, briefly, you there is something called three levels of sex when we were originally talking. And so I was wondering if you could go into that and how that ties into sex magic as well, or if that is, or is that separate?
Yeah, 100%. So how I like to kind of break it down for people is just a really tangible way of understanding sex is that there's these three levels. So the first is porn sex. Okay. So the thing is, I actually heard this thing the other day. It's like, you know, because a lot of us, like fancy sex educators, like witchy people, we're just like, oh, no one had any sex education. But actually, if you think about it, everyone has had sex education, right? Either you got a tiny bit in school, maybe a tiny bit from your parents, but 90% of our sex education comes from porn. And when we watch porn, that is for the dopamine hit. It is for this quick, like, getting off. And especially porn specifically is for the male gaze. It's this externalizing our sexualization. It's not for embodied feeling inside of us. And it's this perpetuation to sell you something. Like, porn makes so much money. And I actually really love to research porn, because even in the amateur, everyone's like, what about amateur porn? And I'm just like, when I even watch amateur porn, it is mimicking typically the non-amateur porn. And it is still like the amount of female orgasms I see in porn is close to zero, like very close to zero. People are faking it so much they don't even know they're faking it. And they're just in it for this dopamine hit. And I like to relate it to, if you're hungry and you go to eat a chocolate bar, okay? Because you want that sugar rush, you want, like, you need something fast. You're either going to feel like shit after and maybe not even want it anymore, or just like feel like crap, or you're not going to feel satiated. You're going to want more and more and more. So you're going to be addicted to that chocolate bar, essentially. And so that's the plane that most people got educated on in sex. And that's what people are trying to replicate. And because it feels good, you get a dopamine hit, right? Like, when you grab the chocolate bar, it's yummy for a second, and then it's not, right? And so the next layer is holistic sex. And holistic sex is all about being curious to go outside of that little bit that we know. So kink is a really great example of holistic sex, because you're starting to discover something that is tangible, and, you know, maybe using toys, or how can I go outside of this? But the big thing about holistic sex is you need to feel safe to be curious, right? Your nervous system needs to feel safe in order to try and discover more. You need to be able to feel safe to speak up for your needs. You might not even know what your needs are. Speak up for consent. You need to feel safe to do that, right? All these aspects. And then when it gets really deep and intentional, then I call it tantric sex, because it can be energetic, psychedelic. It's for, like, life transformation. It's for somatic healing. That's when it really kind of goes to that totally out of your head. Holistic is still quite in your head. Like, typical sex educators will start talking about holistic sex, but, you know, a toy or dressing up sexy is only going to get you so far in your sex life, because it's still in your head, right? It's not fully giving you that surrender and that primordiality to tap into. And again, you have to feel extremely safe to go there. To lose your mind in sex, you have to feel safe, because our whole nervous system is programmed around staying in our mind to make us feel safe, so we don't feel that deeper pain, or we don't feel like we're going to die, because if we have that incredible sex, we're going to burn eternally, is what our whole message in our society is, right? So, yeah.
Wow. Well, do you have any tips for, these are all valid points. So if somebody wants to shift from porn holistic into tantric, and maybe they're a little hesitant to step into sex magic, what are some, I guess, tips or advice that you would have for someone first coming into this? Maybe they're like, what is sex magic? They're apprehensive.
Yeah, totally. So my two big tips is, one is reclaiming that relationship to your own pleasure with yourself. And the thing is, it's so important with yourself, because if you do it with a partner, you are externalizing that journey, and anything can happen to your partner. You know, they can die, they can leave you, anything, right? So if you're externalizing this foundation of safety, then it is not as stable as having it with yourself. You can always come back to it with yourself. I always talk about too, there's, I had this spiritual teacher once say, like, oh, be careful who you sleep with, because they're gonna take your sexual energy or whatever. And I'm like, if you know your sexual energy and you have it reclaimed for yourself, no one can ever take it from you, ever. You know the properties of it. You know how to protect it. You know when you're giving it. You know when you're receiving it, right? So reclaiming that relationship with yourself as foundation is so, so important, and creating that safety with yourself first. And to do that, you want to start slowing down. Get rid of your vibrator. Stop jerking off to porn. If you're watching or you're having the same fantasy over and over again, you want to expand it. You want to deeply breathe into your body. You know, set a timer for 30 minutes and don't let yourself come until that 30 minutes is up. Like, typically we just want to come like in 5 minutes, get it over with, and go to bed, right? What happens if you actually felt into your body? And let me tell you, it sucks at first. It fucking sucks. Like, when I first did this, I was on the 16th floor and I locked my vibrator in my glove compartment in my car in the basement. And I was like forcing myself, like, and I mean, in the school that I did, we masturbated, or self-pleasured is a better word, I think, for it, 5 times a week for a year. Okay. And with no vibrators and with no typical way of doing it. You don't have to do it that intensely. You can make a lot of changes with a lot less, but reclaiming and restructuring your whole relationship to your body and pleasure. And it takes like one little step at a time. And then my other really practical tip is these three elements that heighten your pleasure and bring you into that deeper part of your nervous system. One is breathing deeper. So cyclical breath. You can do open mouth. It's more amplifying. So like amplifying your breath. A lot of us hold our breath during sex. Two is letting your body become unhinged, letting your body shake or do the weird things, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, my body has to behave in this very certain way. Let it be unhinged. And then the third is voice, letting your voice out, making noise, playing with your voice, getting loud. How many of us lock down, hold our breath, and are silent during sex, right? So making space for, you know, if you have kids, like, get a hotel room for a night and like dedicate an hour to your practice, something to get you out of the kind of normality that you're in and getting this unhinged place in your body, because you're an animal and, you know, animals behave silly, right? If you have like a cat or a dog, you know, it does funny things. Like, we're all animal bodies really in the end. So yeah.
Well, I like your comment about the animal bodies, because that's the thing about it. And we've forgotten silly is okay. This isn't an age requirement where all of a sudden that's not like, oh, silly, you can't be silly anymore. That's part of the joy that you get out of life. Mm-hmm. And you can't get joy without that silliness that's there.
Totally. Yeah. Someone was asking me about kink the other day and they're like, well, what do you get out of this? And I was like, well, the thing is that when we're children, we play, right? We're so silly and we play and we make things up and, you know, but then we get to a certain age where suddenly we're not allowed to like have play anymore. And our creativity is only if it's like really good and exploited for making us money or whatever it is, right? And so it's reclaiming the concept of play. And it's interesting in Tantra too, because the intention kind of starts with an intention towards something like healing or feeling multi-orgasmic or whatever it may be. But then eventually the intention is to be so present to the unfolding of whatever is happening. And I also think kink is really cool in that way, because yeah, like sometimes the intention is for healing or is to get something out of it, or like is to recreate a whole scene around something we were traumatized in our childhood. But then you get to this level of play where it's just like, let's like be so present in the moment and just see where this unfolds. And if we can get to a place with sex in that way, you have to feel so safe to get there, right? I think kink is a really tangible example because you can only get to that height of, like, for example, when we talk about like consensual non-consent, right? Like you start with the red, the light system, right? Like green, yellow, red. And then eventually you get to this like level of play and comfort with someone where you know each other so intuitively that you don't have to use the light system anymore, right? You're reading each other. You're in this extreme depth with each other. And what happens when we can get there with just like two bodies, you know, primordiality in each other? And tantra and sex magic really makes the place for amplifying it because you work with your sexual energy and you work with like breath. Like a lot of tantra and sex magic has nothing to do with inserting anything inside of you, right? Like you could put the jade egg in there and then you do like a whole hour practice, but you're not touching yourself in like a typical way anyway, right? So it's really expanding past our shitty porn education.
No, and you raised a very valid point. Like that is something that influences us. And I do think that there's a great number of people who wouldn't consider it, quote, education, but it's still what we are basing our habits off of, which, you know, our bad habits, I want to say, on this.
Totally.
But I do like your point also about kind of taking some time off from the toys and relearning how to touch your body and kind of taking that responsibility of learning to do it and slowing it down. I think that's very important to note. And but I do like your jade eggs, and I was wondering if you could go a little bit more into that. I know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. I do know that there was differences between, is there a jade egg and then there's one that's black? It's
Yeah,
obsidian.
I
Am
have
I
an
saying that?
obsidian one here too. So I don't know if people are watching this or listening, but I have two kind of examples here. So the thing is, jade is the original, and jade is a stone. First of all, it can be smooth so that it is not porous. So that's a really important piece of what is body safe or not, is can it be smooth to a point where it has no little holes in it or no little cracks? And again, too, you have to take care of them because if you drop them and they have a crack in them, they can get bacteria in them and such. But for the most part, jade is also a very dense stone as well, if you get a proper one. There's a lot of fakes out there, so you have to make sure you do your due diligence and your research. But it's a harder stone that doesn't crack very easily. So a lot of people lately are buying the like rose quartz or amethyst ones. Those ones will pop inside of you and it's not cute. Yeah, it's dangerous.
Oh my
So
gosh.
yeah, the only other ones that I suggest really is obsidian, which is a black stone. And then also borosilicate glass is very popular now as well. And it's again like a really good thick glass that is completely doesn't have any holes in it or anything, can be completely smooth. And so jade is the original because so first of all, jade is very prominent in Chinese culture, which is Taoism, which is where this comes from. And jade is really about like manifesting, really amplifying, bringing in wealth. It's really known. It's also like a protection. And then I also know it really well as like deep connection to the earth and cleansing. So it will cleanse things as well. And so a lot of the exercises are about either like bringing things in or cleansing them out. And I'll do a lot of like recycling with the earth as well. Obsidian, I really like to use because I'm the queen of darkness and I like the shadow shit. I mean, right behind my head is Kali. If you know Kali, she's like, yeah, she loves the, you know, bringing out like your darkest shit, like is what it's my dharma. And so I love obsidian, and this one's a different size too. So they come in small, medium, and large, and depending difference, right? So large, you can feel it easier, but it's heavier to work with. So if you have less tone in your pelvic floor, it will fall out easier. The smaller one, is harder to feel. So it's going to create like a lot more sensitivity, but it is easier to hold inside of you, essentially, and it's easier to get out of you as well. So if you have vaginismus, if you have a hard time putting things inside of you, sometimes the smaller one can be better. But typically, like if you want to buy your first one, you want medium and you want a horizontal drill through so you can floss it with preferably like unscented silk string. So it's again like a tampon so you can easily pull it out. And I highly recommend anyone starting out definitely gets a drilled one, because unless you are very, very comfortable with pulling it out of you or having to take an emergency gynecology trip, then yeah, make sure you got the string on there. And then, you know, some people do get them stuck, but really, actually, it's just about time and your vagina will eventually relax and expel it, because our vagina naturally does that, right? Like you can't get anything lost in there. You have a cervix, or some people don't even have cervixes because hysterectomies, but it's not like the back door. Like in your anus, things can get lost. You never want to put a jade egg in your anus, but in your vagina, it can't get lost. It's got nowhere to go, and it will eventually come out as your muscles relax. And so in my membership, I have a full sex magic course in there, and I teach you all like the background, the pelvic floor, and the safety. But yeah, so in general, these stones are, and the thing is too, actually, because a lot of people are going to glass as well, because it is more ethical. Like the mining of crystals has just gotten out of control, essentially. So glass is also a really good, and glass is also really good for having a neutral energy. So you can, when you're working with energy, you can really pull in or pull out whatever you want. Jade is a little more like it has its own kind of energy to it already, but just depending how you work with it. Like I said, like obsidian is really good for like deep, dark ancestral shadow work. I have a obsidian dildo here too.
Oh,
that
nice.
I love. Yeah. And this one, we've done some witchy shit with it. So yeah. So again, that witchiness is really that element of like the different energies and kind of these properties of, you know, the unseen. But there also is that really physical component to like learning more tone in your vaginal canal. Jade eggs work with sensate focus. So when you focus on something highly, you're going to make more nerve patterns there. So it's like surgeons or pianists have really special hands and really sensitivity with their hands, because they hyper focus on them and use them so much. And that's the same thing that a jade egg will do to your vaginal canal, right? It's more focus on it. So it will literally create more nerve endings there. So there's a physical component, but there is that witchiness as well, kind of.
And who doesn't want more nerve endings there? Like who wouldn't want that?
Well, actually, this is interesting that you bring this up, because some people are hypersensitive in their vaginal canal and either have then pain or too much sensitivity. And it's interesting because my cervix was that for a long time. I could not touch my cervix. It was just like way too sensitive. And so reclaiming that relationship, whatever it may be, either in like calming down the sensitivity so you can really connect with it, or creating more sensitivity, because I would say the majority are in like numbness and shutdown, but like vaginismus is huge, where you have so much pain that you can't go inside of you. So yeah,
that's very valid, very valid.
Yeah.
So there's really so much you can do with this. It
Literally.
Seems like it's very so deep, this topic. Like it sounds like it could, it just goes into the depths of your soul, really.
I know, really. Yeah. Like I do TikTok lives and I sit there for 3 hours and like people just ask questions. And so I could go on and on.
Well, this has been great. You've been very informative. And where would my listeners be able to find more of you?
Yeah. So I have my website. It's NadiaLune.com. And on there is my membership for $20 a month right now. It's a membership for woman and vulva being. So all my work is trans inclusive and queer as fuck because I'm queer. And so it doesn't matter what your body parts are. That's another big thing in my work. So men can definitely do the work as well in there. It's not focused for men, and I don't use the words penis and such because if you have a penis but you identify as a woman, possibly you still identify with the concept of pussy. And so you can work energetically with it, which is super cool, and I explain all that in there. And that's the thing too, right? We've had people have hysterectomies. We all have different body parts, so all my work is all gender inclusive. But again, it is that focus on like feminine or pussy, this kind of energy. And so the membership is there is a full inclusive course on sex magic. And then we also have live calls where I do live practices. And then you hang out for the hour after and you can ask your deep stuff and get some mini coaching and such. And then my socials on TikTok, I have a lot of my free videos. And then Instagram, I show a lot more of kind of my intersectional work. So I'm also very, I believe in, working a lot with activism and intersectionality. My work is at that the basis of inclusivity and intersectionality. And so I talk a lot about kind of my activism. And I believe that you can only get so far in your personal journey if you are not also working to uplift the marginalized collective. So that's a really important part of my work. And my Instagram shows a lot more of that. So it's Nadia Loon. TS and then Nadia Lune, Lune, on both my socials, TikTok and Instagram. And then, if you want to do this work in person, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but in May, we have a retreat in Bowen Island near Vancouver, Canada. And so, if you want to do this work in person with other witches in the forest, I'm going to have re yearly retreats and hopefully building that up more. I'm not working one-on-one at the moment. I might start taking some more clients in July, but I'm also writing a book. So I've got lots going on, essentially.
Well, I'm excited. You know what? Let me know when the book is out. I'll read it and have you back on the
For
show because
sure.
that was fantastic.
Hell
Well,
yes.
is there anything else that you'd like to leave my listeners with?
First of all, thank you so much, Dana, for having me. And second of all, if anything I said even just sparks this idea of being more connected to your power and pleasure as one inside of you, then I have done my job. So if you're motivated to, work deeper and be devoted and, work through the difficult things that you no longer want to be in those cycles of, that is what I'm here for, to hold you through. Even if that one little spark shifts something and gives you more of an orgasmic life, like that is truly what my calling is. I'm the mouth of the goddess. I am here in my highest alignment and highest purpose, and it is an absolute honor to do what I do. So I hope that got across.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nadia. This has been fantastic. And for my listeners, you guys know what to do. I will see you all on Wednesday. As always, stay kinky.